And we're back. Welcome to the post-Oscars edition of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. It is 11:58 on Sunday, March 4th, the 51st anniversary of Bonnie and Clyde, Faye Dunaway, and Warren Beatty. As Jimmy Kimmel, the host, pointed out, just finished giving out the Best Picture Award to The Shape of Water. And I am your host, Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
I am also Mike. I've been stewing for those first few minutes as you opened the show. Good job, by the way.
Yeah, I'm furious.
But yeah, I mean, we came all this way. We made all those pods. Ugh. And now and it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that what we did not want to happen.
Carried it down to the finish line, and then we just stumbled. Like last year's Oscars. So here's what we're going to do for this episode. We're going to take the program that was shown over the last 4 hours almost and flip it on its head. We're going to give you the big awards first. That's obviously going to be the main focus of this show. And we're going to run down all the Oscars, everything that was given out, all the awards, try to inject a little life into some of the categories that were more obscure. I actually was able to do a song and a dance because I nailed two categories, and I think I had the exact reasoning why,
even though they're two of the more obscure ones. You did very well with the predictions. If people bet off of your picks, they did okay. They broke even. They only lost their shirt, but not their pants.
Hopefully, they still have a house. I don't know if it's theirs or if they got desperate and broke into someone else's. But
yeah, we're going to try to give you our knee-jerk reactions like we posed in a previous email. We're going to have more Oscar recap coverage for you where we do a deep dive where we may actually structure.
Yeah, this is pretty much a hot take. This is pretty much a Hollywood hot take, basing it off the 90th Academy Awards. It's midnight, like we said, on the East Coast here in Connecticut.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to get right to it, and let's start at the bottom. The Shape of Water. Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty give out The Shape of Water. Guillermo del Toro takes home his Best Picture trophy, and it is the best picture from 2017.
We're emotionally raw, and we're going to be unfiltered here.
It's the wrong fucking choice.
It's a terrible choice. It's not as good of a movie as at least five others in the category. I would even put it as a stretch for it to be nominated, in my opinion, my honest opinion. Here's the problem, though. It's like these two fronts in a storm coming against each other, because as much as I dislike the overrating of this movie, mm-hmm. I like Guillermo del Toro as a person.
Yeah, he was great. He gave a couple great speeches because he was afforded that opportunity tonight. Look, we both like this movie. It's got great acting in it. This movie's Beauty and the Beast. It's Beauty and the Beast wet, and it was done better as Beauty and the Beast. Now, are you going to tell me that Beauty and the Beast, a remake, is pulled off as a better movie because it had practical effects than Three Billboards, than Get Out, which we were heartbroken didn't win, we were both very much pulling for?
Yes.
No. Lady Bird, even? I know there was a lot of backlash leading up to about Lady Bird, but
dollar for dollar, the effects, he knows how to stretch his money, for his budget.
It's a good movie.
So it's a good-looking movie for his budget. I would agree with you. I think this movie is massively overrated. I don't see it. Maybe it's because we're not pros like we've said before.
And that's the thing. Everyone in Hollywood seems to love this and accept it. Sasha Stone, who was live at the Academy Awards, she had a couple tweets about people around her and what they were talking about. She said they were talking about Get Out. And then as the night went on, she said it was a very Shape of Water feel that was around her in the auditorium itself. So obviously there was some sort of grasping appeal.
I was more emotionally moved by watching Guillermo del Toro speak than I was at any one of the three times I've seen this movie.
And that should be a problem, right? Like an off-the-cuff acceptance speech at the Academy Awards probably shouldn't be the most emotional point of the Best Picture winning.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
With you.
So, obviously, our cards on the table. I think, actually, as a means of recap, we both finished with the same odds. I finished one pick ahead of Mike. It was close. Yeah, so
I think
we went 18 of 24, 19 of 24.
That's a very modest way to just dunk on me.
I'm better than you. That's fine. It's not here or there. I'm not here to brag is what I'm not here to do. You just need to work on
you. I'm overly competitive,
you.
And I'm like secretly mad about this the whole night, and that's the only thing I care about.
The reason I bring that up is because, as I said.
But you did. You won.
It won't shock you to hear that I predicted Get Out to win. I wanted Get Out to win. Yeah. Mike predicted Three Billboards to win. I think he wanted Get Out to win. And there was a moment in Warren Beatty getting the card out that it looked like he was going to I thought that was where it was going. My heart, I got all excited.
I thought for sure Faye Dunaway was going to say La La Land. I mean, that joke was, joke was tailor-made.
You tweeted what I said, but as soon as he said Shape of Water, as soon as Warren Beatty announced Shape of Water, I was like, come on, be the most meta joke of all time and tell them you're just kidding.
That was a great line.
But no, it didn't happen. The Shape of Water is your best picture win, and I hate that I sound so somber about it and so upset about it, but if ever there was a movie that represented a year better than Get Out and better represented not only the social justice movements, but the degree of difficulty that it is to get a movie made, the degree of difficulty it is to please everyone with the same film, the degree of difficulty to have commentary, social commentary in it. I just thought it was Get Out's year.
Picking apart what probably happened with the voting, though, they cannibalized themselves. Get Out got a lot of support. Lady Bird got a lot of support.
It's a theme we kept saying.
Three
over
billboards
and over,
probably got Hollywood Foreign Press / the BAFTA people who voted for those award shows. You know, so those four probably had a ton of support in there. They cannibalized each other so that this movie, without probably, you know, the huge number of votes that a typical, you know, Best Picture winner would get, took it.
This was leading up to the voting deadline. This was kind of a 5-picture race. Get Out, Three Billboards, Shape of Water, Dunkirk, Lady Bird. In the last week or so, everything that we have heard and read formed it into a 3-headed race just between Get Out, Three Billboards, and Shape of Water. Mm-hmm. And even then, like you said, the one we didn't want to win. Because again, it's Beauty and the Beast redone. And all the credit in the world to Guillermo del Toro for having his vision seen through. Fox Searchlight, who he gave a big thank you to during his Best Director win. All the credit in the world to him for bringing these monsters to life. All the credit in the world for having the audacity to go for it in this movie and pull off what he pulled off.
This is a toned-down version of his first few movies.
Right.
I mean, it's a toned-down version.
It's been done in that aspect. Right. It's been done in the splash, Beauty and the Beast, more gritty versions of those aspects.
Man, I don't want to call it a fast food version of Pan's Labyrinth and other, you know, twists on fairy tales.
No, because it's unique enough.
Yeah, it's like almost a chain restaurant feel. Chain restaurant version
in a couple ways, because it's been done and done and done, and then it's the half measure, like we kept talking about, of okay, what's the message of the movie? Everybody is equal. Everyone has value. Everyone is capable and worthy of love, et cetera, et cetera. And that's such a general feel in the year that has the biggest social justice movements in the past, however many. And you had this wide open opportunity to either make a statement with Get Out. You could have made a statement with Lady Bird and given Greta Gerwig, which went home awardless like we feared would happen.
Right.
The Oscar puzzle didn't go her way. You could have made a statement with that. You could have made a statement with the badass feminine hero, anti-hero, with Frances McDormand leading her picture. You could have made that statement. And no, you go with the half measure. The Academy, even though they got bigger and more diverse, they still take the general statement movie. And that's what happened here with Best Picture. And it sucks.
It does suck. It, like you said, it played to all parts of the choir a little bit. Wouldn't offend anybody.
Yeah.
It was the kind of safe compromise candidate. Well, let's move on. We're going to have more rage later in the week when it sinks in, I think.
A lot of 6 months of buildup leading to that, and it was just kind of upsetting. But hey, credit to Guillermo del Toro. Again, it's certainly an above-average movie. It's worth your time to see if you have not seen it, and obviously it'll get more second
life. I gave it a B+, and think we did a nice podcast on it, Dancing with Mermen. For an Oscar sprint profile, and obviously we've covered it throughout the category reviews.
Yeah, and you can go back and listen to that Oscar sprint profile. We speak highly of it throughout. We have a spoiler and non-spoiler section in there if you haven't seen it yet or have seen it and want to get our take on it. Mm-hmm. It's a good movie. It's worth your time, and I'm sure it's going to get a second life now that it is the Best Picture winner and representing the class of 2017, we'll move on. So the next award down, Jodie Foster and Jennifer Lawrence presented Best Actress. Again, this was supposed to be the Casey Affleck presenting, where he kind of removed himself from the picture, didn't want to go with his murky history of domestic abuse and domestic violence. He steps down. They decided to let two women represent. They had great rapport at the beginning of their award presentation, blaming Meryl Streep as Jodie Foster came out on crutches, and Jennifer Lawrence and Jodie Foster had a whole bit about blaming Meryl Streep and saying Meryl was responsible
for... My fifth grade band teacher once said, audiences love corn. And there's a lot of corny jokes tonight, and I was amongst those audience members just laughing and guffawing, and we did laugh a lot. We were suckers for it.
It hit us. So, Frances McDormand, no surprise, she did take home. All the acting awards went chalk. I thought there would be an upset. I was on the record saying Leslie Manville, taking a shot in the dark. All went chalk. Frances McDormand won her Best Lead Actress. Very well deserved.
That could have been, Mike.
No, if only. Those odds, man. McDormand probably had the moment of the night. She gave her acceptance speech. It was very heartfelt. And then she asked for all the women nominated in every category to stand up.
Yeah, that was cool.
And take in their applause and ovation. And that was very, very cool.
But her laugh, let me just say this for the record, was the laugh of an insane person.
Oh, she is crazy.
She should be cast as the next Joker.
You know what, though?
Like that, seriously, she should be the next Joker. Why is Joaquin Phoenix cast as her? As him?
I would totally see that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, all of us would.
But she's too good, right? She's not. Her laugh, it sounds evil, but it's in that matrix. She's chaotic good.
I'm not saying it sounds, well, maybe, but it just sounds nuts.
Oh, yeah. No, she is.
She might be crazy.
But she's also very just God awesome. She's beautiful as a human being.
We've been singing her praises for a while.
Totally worthy of this award.
My favorite.
Swept everything leading up to it. She had a big, powerful moment at the end of her speech. She left it, said two words, inclusion writer.
Yeah.
It confused us at first.
We were trying to,
and again, anything that gets you thinking about these subjects,
that's cool.
A good thing. And it's probably going to go down as the most powerful moment of the night. And good for Frances McDormand for the win. Good for Three Billboards for having two winners on the night in the acting categories,
yes,
even though they lacked Martin McDonagh as a Best Director nominee.
I just love her swagger when she walks up to the podium, too.
She's a badass. It's just in every aspect, she's such a badass.
It really is awesome. It's so one thing I didn't grow bored of the entire award season, watching Frances McDormand accept awards. But she did leave her best speech for the
big show.
Which
is amazing, considering she won everything leading up to it. And this is going to be, you know, you're right, the Indie Spirit she even won. And she's going to be remembered for this speech from the Oscars.
She saved her best for last. Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal speech. I just, the laugh, if you cut out four of those crazy laughs, then it might be something that would be replayed 1,000 times and she should run for office.
One of the tweets I had is that I was so enraptured with what she said and so in love with it all, and I was just like, you know, if she's planning on opening a church anytime soon, that'd really, really be good for me, because I'd like to pray to her amongst other like-minded disciples, because I want to bend at the altar of McDormand from now on. She's just awesome. And her authenticity is what really draws you in, because you could tell she is a feminist through and through and standing up for women everywhere, and she wants recognition for all of her gender.
I want to know who's going to be the female equivalent of the, I think it's the Chive Bill Murray t-shirt. Like, who gets, Frances McDormand should get like her
I'm
own t-shirt
down.
That most people
I am
own.
Down. So instead of BFM, it's what
do they
F?
Just call it? The F and Bill Murray t-shirt or something?
It's Bill fucking Murray, BFM. So it'd be Frances fucking McDormand, FFM.
I want that to be invented.
Oh, she's awesome. So we moved. She won the Best Actress. Gary Oldman was up before her. Jane Fonda and Helen Mirren presenting him with the Best Actor Award. No surprise there for his work as
Winston
Churchill.
It is no surprise in terms of our projections and the way we've covered it. I disagree with the, and I am on record in our Best Actor pod. I think Daniel Day-Lewis is a masterclass in acting, and the freaking one scene that they showed, the clip from Phantom Thread, Daniel Day-Lewis and all the faces he's putting on and the levels of what he's doing, to me, it's not even close. That guy's behind a mound of makeup. Yes, you get some of the emoting through it. You get his eyes, all right, doing things. But I just don't think it's – I think it's half the performance of something like Daniel Day-Lewis. And I think a lot of people would vote Timothy Chalamet above it. Daniel Kaluuya went off. Yes, Denzel
Kaluuya
Washington
had the,
was
when
the
– when they were announcing the nominees, Kaluuya had the biggest ovation of the when his clip came up. I noticed that. And it's not going to be the main story coming out of tonight. Obviously, that'll probably go to Shape of Water or Frances McDormand, as it should.
Right.
But one of the stories that should be mentioned is how Phantom Thread, as time goes on, I think Phantom Thread's going to be one of those movies that people actually give a chance to, even if they pretended to beforehand, they'll actually watch it. And I think there might be some building outrage about how
I might have some sour grapes right now. I mean, it's possible.
I took Manville too for supporting actors. It didn't happen, and that's what are you going to do? So we'll keep moving on. prior to the Best Actor Award being given out, again, we don't need to say congratulations to Winston Churchill / Gary Oldman, because we've done that plenty of times already, but a well-deserved award nonetheless, even if we thought other people were contenders, I don't think we're going to gripe.
I think you give LeBron the MVP more often than he gets the MVP. Right. And Daniel Day-Lewis, MVP, man.
Fair enough.
No, it's my opinion.
Going into the Best Actor presentation, they had the Best Actor montage, as they did with all the acting categories. They had these montages of previous winners.
Yeah.
They did show Casey Affleck. They chose to put him in there, so he showed up at some point during the Academy Awards. They gave him little recognition. It's probably proper since he did just win it last year, but then again, who knows?
That face you just made, that's how I feel as well.
Probably how a lot of people feel.
Said the guys on the podcast.
House of Cards had a commercial going prior to the Best Actor presentation as well, and I was
tweeting looking down. So describe this.
It was a zooming in through the hallways, kind of the White House.
Yeah.
Zooming in the Oval Office. And the back of the president's chair was turned to us. There was all kinds of commotion going around, people running in and out. And as the chair turned, it's Robin Wright sitting in the presidential chair right in the middle of the Oval Office at the desk.
Yep.
And she stands up and she says, "We're just getting started." And I thought that was an awesome commercial. Good on Netflix. Good on House of Cards. Yeah, we're just getting started for the season finale. That's definitely ending everything. But nonetheless,
I am a big fan of House of Cards. I was sad when the whole fiasco went down because we were going to lose that show, which is the worst possible human reason to be sad after that fiasco. I'm a bad person.
Yeah, I'm on the list of rankings of why that'll affect you.
Why a person should be sad. But in all honesty, I've talked about my record binge with House of Cards before. I did it the whole last season in one day.
The Great Laundry Day.
The Great Laundry Day.
The Laundry Day of 2017.
The House of Laundry Day. No question. It was a great binge. It was an epic binge. I should be, mentioned somewhere by some people.
You are a great man. You should be held in high esteem. There's no doubt.
So, yes, I'm excited about House of Cards. I have faith in those folks. So, good commercial, says you, and I'll wait and see.
And Joe House on Bill Simmons and the Ringer Network has a podcast about eating called House of Carbs. First of all, incredibly clever name. Second of all, it's exactly what happened in this basement tonight. Because just to give you guys a little background,
this is as loud as I can speak right now.
The watching party was myself, my brother Dave, who we've talked about, saw Shape of Water with us. Also Mike here and his brother John, who was my roommate in college. I told John and also Mike specifically, please do not bring anything. We don't need anything because we were already buying pizza for everyone. And they proceeded to bring in every pastry, I think.
It was a crossed wires situation, but that's what you
two
get when
men
you invite
came
us,
in
our family,
with four boxes of pastries.
We wanted to have just a tight-knit thing tonight because, we're kind of working through the show. So they're helping us with tweets, crafting tweets. They're really just the smart Alex in the room.
Yes.
We kind of just, threw jibes out all night.
The unfortunate ending of that, of course, being
all our funny jokes are gone.
And we're
lost.
Now diabetic.
Diabetic, yes.
So we have severe sugar problems.
I can't feel my toes.
No way to transition from that to this, so I'm just going to say it. Eddie Vedder played the Tom Petty Room at the Top, Tom Petty song Room at the Top, during the In Memoriam section. It was Jerry Lewis that got the final spot, the hammer, in the In Memoriam section. I'm kind of surprised they didn't go with Don Rickles. And Tom Petty wasn't shown at all.
Interesting word choice, but got the hammer, his dead guy.
I thought that's what it was referred to. I could make that up. Again, a lot of sugar, not so much with the vegetables today.
Oh, my God. Laughing during the In Memoriam segment. Here we go.
Yeah, that's good. No, I thought it would be Gallows Don Rickles humor at the end. Tom Petty, they used his song. And he wasn't even sure. I know he may not have a lot of connections to film, and maybe that was their way of nodding their cap to him, but
I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. I'm lost in the 90s, where you're kind of lost in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed this segment. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's fine. There's not a whole
I
lot
enjoyed
of...
enjoyed Eddie Vedder.
Not a whole lot of ways to make jokes about that.
Jokes about ourselves being idiots.
After the In Memoriam section, Emma Stone gave out the Best Director Oscar. And again, no surprise, the four acting categories went chalk. Best Director went chalk. And Guillermo del Toro. And Emma Stone kind of made her own headline by copying, in some ways, Natalie Portman did at the Golden Globes. When Natalie Portman said, "Here are all the all-men nominees," and Emma Stone came out and said, "These four men and Greta Gerwig presented their own masterpieces." Big applause moment there. Everybody loved that. And then she gave the award to Guillermo del Toro.
Who, again, made a very emotional speech. I really that enjoyed.
That was the more touching of his two speeches, for sure.
Really enjoyed it. And it's unfortunate because we wanted The Field. We were voting for it was Del Toro versus The Field. We were voting for any of The Field. We liked all four more than Del Toro.
Yeah, we got cute. We didn't want Shape of Water to do what it did, but it won its awards.
We like the movie. We just don't love the movie, and we love other movies in that category. It's as simple as that.
And I will say I'm far more okay with Del Toro taking the Best Director because there's... You had the practical effects. It was his own made-up monster, even though he kind of already did it with Abe Sapien and Hellboy. There was work here to be done by a director,
right. And
that's fine, even though it was sort of a remake. But props to him for winning the award, and he got his long-awaited Oscar. They said it was his fourth nomination, his first win, so all the credit in the world to Guillermo del Toro for taking home the win. And he was overcome with emotion during his speech, and that was really heartfelt, and you could tell it was authentic as well. Very sweet to see.
Again, those two weather fronts coming together is the only analogy my brain can make at this moment. But yeah, I mean, I'm torn because I like the guy. I loved Pan's Labyrinth. He was like a hero of me in my film school days, a hero of mine, I should say. And I'm happy for him. I just wish it was for one of those movies and not this one.
It was the song categories that were up before that, prior to that. It was Lin-Manuel Miranda and Emily Blunt presenting Best Original Song. And Remember Me was the favorite from Coco going into tonight. We both thought it was crazy. We both thought This Is Me would win. And Remember Me from Coco won.
Yes, I was very weirded out by Gael Garcia Bernal giving the opening kind of melody because he can't really sing. I mean, you and I probably could have sung better. We've sung for you before, folks. I mean, listen, I love Gael Garcia Bernal. I mean, I love The Motorcycle Diaries. Whatever. I don't have to say how much I love him. But he sucks in that scene, in that song. What are we doing?
I'm not going to say how much I loved him.
I love him in everything
else. Terrible.
He's not. That should not be his job.
Awkward moment, too, when they were accepting the award. It was Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez accepting the award.
Yeah, and it's off key.
When they're accepting the award for best song, the orchestra starts playing him off, and Robert Lopez mentions something about his dead mother. First of all, saying that the award
wasn't for his kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Saying the award wasn't for his kids, it was for his dead mother. They start playing him off. He says the words dead mother. Immediately
they shut the playoff music.
I've never heard that before. It was one of the more astonishing moments in Oscars history that's gonna get overlooked.
Look,
but
we're evil people. That got the biggest laugh in the room.
That was so awkward. I didn't know. Yeah. I don't know if he knew what was happening. He just kept going.
I just picture Holly Hunter in broadcast news, like diving across the table to hit a button. And shutting it down.
We will not hear that violin.
Because it wasn't like a tape delay thing, you know, for
it
gaffes.
It was
in the moment.
An immediate stoppage.
In the building.
That conductor had to have just thrown his stick at the violinist or something and be like, not now.
Amazing.
Never seen it before.
And hysterical.
Christopher Walken was before that presenting for original score. Alexander Desplat, no surprise, taking home his Oscar as well for Shape of Water. Shape of Water had a decent night, all things considered. I think it took home four, I want to say, this production design.
Yes, four awards total for Shape of Water.
So four out of 13.
Says Wikipedia. I think this score is a little better than we've given it credit for. I kind of listened to it the other day on Spotify. It has some more variety than... You know, we haven't done a podcast on Best Original Score, but we kind of trashed it in the face of something like Dunkirk or even Phantom Thread and Three Billboards. I like the sound of that because Carter Burwell's done all the Coen Brother movies and et cetera, et cetera. Hans Zimmer's our favorite.
But yeah, it's...
Because of the effect it had on the movie and how instrumental... Pun intended, or really wasn't intended, but there
we
was.
We said it in our first episode.
How instrumental Dunkirk's score was to the plot, you know?
We want to brush our teeth to his music was a joke I stole from Also Mike on our first episode.
You botched the joke!
It's true. I don't understand how that wasn't...
I need to set this right. The joke was, while I was walking out of the theater at Dunkirk, if somebody filmed me brushing my teeth to the Dunkirk score... that would be the second most suspenseful movie of the year. It's an over-convoluted joke and a bad one. It's a bad one. There's a reason.
It doesn't deliver much, but it's a point of contempt for us.
But I need to get it out the correct way, finally. 49 episodes later, there it is. After episode one.
Yeah. Prior to those awards, it was Zendaya, star of The Greatest Showman, presenting the song This Is Me, sung in real time. It was Keila Settle, the bearded lady from The Greatest Showman, singing it, and it got good at the end, but we both thought there was some misses.
It was like she was off key. She was crying the whole time.
It kind of seemed like she was overwhelmed by the moment.
Now, she's done commercials singing beautifully about, I'm going to sing off key, right? Like, that's a whole lyrics to another hit, her newest hit song. And we are gluttons. We're gluttons for that song. We love that song. We listen to that song all the time. That was the worst version of that song I've ever heard.
I couldn't believe it.
No, it was terrible.
And you're totally right. We're gluttons for that song because it's such an Oscar song. It's a musical number. It's like from...
Anthem, yeah.
Yeah, and had Shape of Water not won Best Picture, I would be most upset that This Is Me didn't win Best Original Song.
One of our brothers were like, wait, I mean, I've heard that song before. Literally 15 minutes before, they played This Is Me.
You're right, right.
At the Oscars.
So maybe she was just overcome with emotion, or maybe she was
nervous.
But
she kicked it.
Yeah, the beginning was a little off-key. Far be it from us to criticize live performance, by the way.
We tell truths, and she kicked the song.
Now, that said, if the Academy would like me to sing that next year's Oscars, I would gladly take up that challenge.
We also recognize that we can't sing on a podcast, never mind in front of other people.
Speak for yourself.
So, no, that's not our area of expertise.
Speak
but
for yourself.
She blew it.
But it got good. It did pick up speed.
Well, she
at the
hit
end,
some great notes. It was just the composition was
it was
lousy.
A beautiful moment at the end too, when the background singers kind of went off into the crowd. Everybody in the crowd was eating it up. They were clapping and dancing and singing along.
I think they wanted it to be a great moment. It was
the bitch of it all, because I thought
they probably
all
love the song like we do,
right? I said to you, this could be a great moment in Oscars history with this song and these people and this time.
I think the word I wanted is flubbed. She flubbed that song.
There you go.
That's the word. Word of the day, flubbed.
It's only 12:30 a.m. I'm glad I can edit that in. Sandra Bullock presented Best Cinematography to Roger Deakin for Blade Runner 2049. Maybe the biggest standing ovation of the night, or the biggest ovation of the night, I should say, because everybody was pulling for Roger Deakin to take home this Academy Award. He finally did it, and people went nuts.
He's a guy who used to being behind the camera, not necessarily used to being on the camera. What, he kept scratching his face?
Yeah.
Weird. Here's us heckling these guys.
Yeah,
these
that's
guys
the thing.
Who just won Oscars. We're jerks. We're the biggest jerks. But honestly,
day in pajama pants.
I loved the cinematography in Blade Runner this year. In my opinion, and I tweeted it out, that was the IMAX experience of the year. Both the cinematography and the visual effects. I should have been smarter and picked it for a visual effects. I think in terms of those visual effects, it's probably the best of the year when you think about it. I haven't rewatched. Yeah, I mean, I haven't rewatched Blade Runner in a while. I saw it twice, almost in the same. I think I did see it in the same weekend. I saw both in IMAX screenings. I just haven't gone back to it. It's such a dense movie, and I probably OD'd on it early, even though I liked it a lot. And I'm going to talk more about that in the Mike and Oscars coming up. But my jaw was wide open. I've said this again. You know, my jaw was dropped that entire screening. I thought some of the visuals were unreal. I loved it. So, yeah, I mean, I think he deserves that.
First nomination since 2016. It was his 13th nomination overall.
Yeah.
First win. Good for him, Roger Deakins.
Great
taking it home.
Sicario lately, too.
Sicario, Unbroken, Prisoners, Skyfall. How Skyfall didn't win Best Cinematography is beyond me. But,
oh,
hey.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, good. Great for him. Good job. I feel awkward saying, good job, Academy Award winner. But
yeah, you're all right.
Yeah.
You're okay.
It's only the best moment of your life, and you need me to recognize it for you.
Punditry is horrible.
Such an arrogant ass. Nicole Kidman, prior to that, giving out Best Original Screenplay. She had her own magnificent run this year with an award show for her role in Big Little Lies.
Right.
And she capped off the run that Get Out had with awards this year. Jordan Peele, the kid from Comedy Central, as Jimmy Kimmel called him at the top of the program.
Yeah, I think he didn't like that either. I think he was kind of aggravated.
Comedy Central tweeted the kid from Comedy Central.
He's 38 years old. Why do you call him a kid?
But Get Out, Jordan Peele winning Best Original Screenplay. Good for him. It needed to win something.
We're very happy about that, and I think it's well-deserved. You got to reward that movie for its tightrope walking somewhere.
The degree of difficulty to pull off that movie is just astronomical.
So Lady Bird would have also been a worthy winner, in my opinion, but I agree with Get Out.
And Get Out winning that, thank God Lady Bird and Get Out didn't both go home empty-handed.
One of our few victories tonight. I mean, if we can claim victory by association for at the freaking Oscars. This seems so absurd
just as important
at 1
for
in the morning.
Us. We understand this is a very humbling experience because, obviously, this is all about them and the winners and we.
He gave a nice speech, too.
Yeah, no, he did.
It trailed off into a lot of thank yous at the end, but he hit some nice notes in there.
Jordan Peele's awesome.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman and Margot Robbie presented Best Adapted Screenplay to James Ivory for Call Me By Your Name, another heavy favorite that went. All the heavy favorites pulled it off. Not a lot of upsets that went into tonight's programming, which made for kind of bleh TV, but it was nice to see all the heavy favorites cap off their award races with wins.
Call Me By Your Name, the book apparently is just this massive sprawling thing that takes place over several plot lines, one in the past, one in the future, or one in the present, one in the past, and it's got sequels. The movie's got sequels coming out that are apparently derived mostly from this one book. So for them to wrangle that into such a focused movie, I mean, say what you want about how entertaining it is, or how, if it's goes slow or fast, it's a focused movie. It takes place over one summer. I mean, it's just laser focused for that, for in terms of a storyline, a through line, and they took all the voiceover narration out. They really wrangled that together. So in terms of an adaptation, it makes a world of sense at that one.
And again, it was heads and shoulders above everything else in its category, like Logan and Disaster Artist, all those nominations along with it.
Yeah, Molly's Game felt like they omitted nothing. Like that was like three books worth crammed into dialogue said by Molly Bloom and Idris Elba. They talk so fast. I mean, I liked Molly's Game. I gave it a B+, but it didn't hold back at all. It said everything.
I wish Molly's Game was nominated for Best Picture and won instead of Shape of Water.
Well, they basically read me the book, though. So, I mean, that's fine.
To be fair, that's how we go to bed every night, is reading each other's stories, so...
Extra little dialogue.
We had another big moment of the night. For as big of a cultural and social justice movement as this year represented, the Oscars, I thought, did a very good job of representing that and showing the world that and what it was. And we had a movie montage, or not a movie montage, but all the directors, all the different minorities, women, black people, white people, everyone talking together about how movies can show equality and how they can be a tool for good. We saw Lee Daniels, Kumail Nanjiani, Liz Hannah, Greta Gerwig, Dee Reese, a bunch of movie makers, filmmakers, auteurs in their fields, talking about the power of filmmaking. And I thought, especially where we keep hearing time and again how cinema is dying, movies aren't being made anymore, they're not that important, I thought they showed how strong and how not true all those sentiments were.
Sure. I mean, to put it in perspective, it's a reason for some optimism, albeit a small reason. It's a nice little nod. It's a nice little 3-minute montage. It meant something if we felt something. But they still voted half measure in at the end of the night. They voted Driving Miss Daisy over Do the Right Thing years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, they've slandered and minimized and put these people on the sidelines for 30 years to the point where, like they said during the broadcast, we only have 11% women directors.
Disgusting.
And it's just nonsense. I mean, so, yes, they're saying all the right things, but nobody's doing all the right things yet.
It's another aspect that Frances McDormand touched on in her speech. She she said to the movie, the production heads and the studios, don't talk to us at the parties tonight. Come into our offices or we'll come into yours and let's get these pictures made. Women need a voice and we need more voices.
Sure.
Kumail Nanjiani, to me, had multiple highlights throughout the night.
He just had a lot of big moments.
Paraphrasing what he said in this montage and this piece put together, some of my favorite movies are about straight white dudes by straight white dudes, and I relate to them, and now movies can be made starring me, and straight white dudes can relate to them like I did. It's not that hard. And yeah, man,
talk
about encapsulating the entire feeling and movement and why it's important.
Absolutely.
He's hysterical. He's so poignant. He's so articulate. It was beautiful. It blew me away. And then, of course, earlier in the night when he presented, he had another big moment. So we had Dave Chappelle introducing Common and Diane Warren for Stand Up for Something, the song from Marshall. Anything?
Do you think the Academy is just like, all right, Netflix, which three personalities do you want to push? Oh, Dave Chappelle? Okay, you got Dave Chappelle in the fold? All right, we want to go be nice to Netflix. I don't know how things work, and this is why we're a fringe of the industry podcast here. But yeah, it's nice to see Dave Chappelle back. It was nice to see those stand-up specials. I enjoyed most of them. And Dave Chappelle presented something at the Oscars.
Yeah, if I were to tell you 15 years ago, Dave Chappelle is going to be presenting something at the Oscars.
Yeah, it was AWOL. He was gone, man.
Yeah. Best live action short was prior to that. It was A Silent Child winning an upset to us. It was one of the only two categories thus far up to that point in the night. I think it was through 15 awards where neither Mike nor myself had picked the winner. We had kind of alternated on other stuff that
flubbed it.
Yeah, and The Silent Child ended up taking it home. What struck me about that was they thanked their parents for selling cupcakes, and they thanked the GoFundMes and all that. That's how this movie got made.
They were
able to get their money. I thought that was really, really cool. And again, filmmaking is important.
I enjoyed that short film. It was infuriating, let me be honest. It also had perhaps the most rounded character. I thought the character of the mother as an antagonist in that short, literally, 15, 20 minute film, whatever it was, as the antagonist in that thing, she is the most well-rounded character probably in all five short films. So I was impressed with that, even though the movie just leaves you just like, wait, what? Yeah. This is going on? Nah. That people are this freaking stupid? I mean, I'm again being a judgmental bastard, but it's 1 a.m. and apparently people, with deaf kids around the country, around the world, don't let them learn sign language.
Ugh.
Are you kidding me? If you had a deaf kid and okay, the doctor tells you deaf, all right, I guess we're all learning sign language,
right?
Wouldn't that be one of your first 10 thoughts?
Right.
In terms of, not 10 thoughts, but one of your first 100 lines of thinking.
It's really amazing when you think about it, how many issues there are to put a spotlight on and stuff like deaf children being able to learn sign language is so not a thought that you would have.
I would have never in a million years thought that that was a stat.
Right.
In reality.
It's amazing. That was best live action short film. Best documentary short subject was prior to that. Both those were presented by Maya Rudolph and Tiffany Haddish, who did their best to steal the show.
I wish they were hosting.
They were hysterical.
They were
Tiffany
funny.
Haddish, especially wearing her slippers out there on stage. That was awesome.
Maya Rudolph said, my pinky toe fell off. I was dying when she said that. And she had some little prop in her hands or something. Or maybe it was her pinky
toe.
I don't know.
So many white people. White people with clipboards. White people with earpieces.
No.
Heaven is a traffic jam on the 405 ended up winning
you
best documentary short subject. Listen.
Props, my friend. I can't believe you'd pick that.
Nobody watches these. This is my theory. This is why Dear Basketball won. This is why Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405 won. We heard all week about how people in the Academy don't actually watch the nominations. I think there are people that watch the big movies that get to these points on their ballot, and they just pick the one that most appeals to them. Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405. 405 is a freeway in L.A. That's my winner. Dear Basketball has Kobe Bryant. I know Kobe Bryant. I like Kobe Bryant. That's my winner.
You were right on both accounts. Between the two of us, we will admit to you all that we saw one of these movies.
Yeah.
And
sorry. I also would have voted for these two.
I did not see more than Traffic Jam in this category. I just couldn't do it. I watched Traffic Jam. It broke my heart, and I hated myself afterwards, and it was just a horrible experience because it was so sad and true. And I guess I need a thicker skin to be able to watch a movie about heroin, a 40-minute documentary about heroin.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I mean, just there's like a woman rocking in the fetal position during Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405 clip that they showed at the Oscars. Like, we really have to watch that? No. It's a parade of sadness every year. I made the mistake one year of going to the, you know, live documentary short subjects, and they're brutal.
Can't imagine why you're not happy. They're absolutely brutal.
And I watched all the, you know, documentary features, and they were brutal enough, but at least there's, you know, there's more of a story. And it's kind of, well, I guess they, in a way, and this is like inside baseball, or at least my, it's at least my guess on the inside baseball. They probably put the heart, the worst subject matter in the live action, in the shorts, in the documentary short subject.
Very possible.
And, you know, the features, they, you know, unless it's great, but they'll nominate the gruesome subject matter in those short films.
You know, and especially after hearing the awful subject matter, like you just touched on, you hearing about how the parents sold cupcakes to get the film funded and stuff. A documentary about the making of these shorts would be fascinating to me, to see the whole production going in and out.
Sure. For example, last year, the White Helmets won on Netflix, which is a great short documentary. I watched that after the fact. This year, three documentaries on Syria, Cries from Syria, Last Men in Aleppo, and City of Ghosts. So all three of those, they'll rip your heart apart, but they're all great movies. Yeah, I mean, a year later. So I think I'm right. Maybe.
Yeah, you got it. It's too late to argue. McConaughey, former Best Actor winner himself, was up presenting film editing prior to that. Dunkirk won again. It swept the undercard like I said it might. It seemed to have an apology. Sorry, Christopher Nolan, you can't win Best Director this year. You're not being taken seriously for Best Picture, but here's every technical award that we can give you.
You got it, and in terms of content, it's hard to argue with. I mean, I had Baby Driver. I like the editing in that, but I think it's a good choice. I, Tanya, won last night at the
Indie
Spirits. And thought that might have thrown a wrench into things.
Yeah, I thought so too.
An indication of what was happening. But nope, Dunkirk took it. And yeah, Dunkirk walked away with three Oscars.
It is fascinating to see how different the voting bodies are for all these different award shows, because you'd think there'd be enough overlap where something like that would be a predictor, something that happened the night before in the Indie Spirit Awards, but
right.
Apparently not.
I mean, look, when it's just the guild voting, the Editors Guild or whatever, the Directors Guild, they're going to be rewarding, you know, a technical favorite, correct?
Right.
But when all the guilds have to vote on your expertise, the criteria changes, I guess you could say, or at least the knowledge thereof changes, so it's...
Good point.
Yeah.
Gina Rodriguez and Tom Holland presented Best Visual Effects. Blade Runner 2049 won. That was its first award win of the night. And good for Blade Runner for winning the awards it did. I was at times when we heard it was being made, everyone thought it might be a Best Picture contender. Obviously, it didn't live up to that level, but enough to win a couple Oscars on the night. It's still obviously something held in high regard.
Somewhat of a salvage job for the movie because it lost some money. I mean, Denis Villeneuve did an awesome job with it, I thought. I mean, yes, it has some flaws, but I really enjoyed Blade Runner 2049.
Daniela Vega from Fantastic Woman was presenting Sufjan Stevens for his nominated Best Original Song entry for Mystery of Love. We were treated to that performance. I have to get my hands on that jacket that Sufjan Stevens. I have to get my hands on that jacket because it was electric. Absolutely electric.
It was electric.
Two things I want from this. I want Sufjan Stevens' jacket, and I want Salma Hayek's dress that looked like it was sparkling like Chris Jericho's jacket.
That was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, going to be a reference lost on you, but important to me.
Professional wrestling.
And that's what's important. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for keeping up there. So I wasn't just talking to myself. The Star Wars cast was out presenting Best Animated Short. It was Oscar Isaac, Mark Hamill, and Kelly Marie Tran. We were also treated to an appearance by BB-8 and his adorable little beep boop boop. That's my robot sound at 1 a.m.
The best part of that was your face.
Thank you.
We got to get on YouTube.
Dear Basketball won, so Kobe Bryant, here's every award, here's some MVPs, and what the hell, why not an Oscar? Go ahead.
I think if I saw Dear Basketball as a short film before something that I watched on like IFC, I would enjoy it and give it a golf clap.
Mm-hmm.
But to go to the movies and watch all these films and to, like, choose my best one, those other four movies are a lot better than it in terms of story and, in my opinion, in terms of its animation. I mean, this was there's talent involved here. But
You were a big fan of the frogs. You wanted the frogs.
Well, it was the best animation going. I picked Lou because Lou was probably the best story without dialogue. It was, very little dialogue. It was the weirdest story, but it kind of got me. I think Revolting Rhymes was a fun 30 minutes. It was the longest story of the group. I can't believe we're talking this long about Best Animated Short again.
Let's go on. So you know how there's an EGOT, right? There's Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, if you EGOT. What is Kobe Bryant approaching? You got MVPs, All-Stars, NBA championships, Oscar now. So that's like a no. We need two more letters.
He wants to be a director or writer.
Owner of a team, so a no-do.
Right.
NBA, Oscar, director, owner. There you go.
So he owns the production company that made this, or I guess. I mean, it's not that hard to own a production company if you have just money behind it, your own capital behind it. Mm-hmm. So I guess, he can pay some people and just get this thing made and call, LLC.
I'm just happy that Kobe Bryant finally got some recognition.
Right. The freaking Laker fans, in Hollywood. Listen, the Laker fans by association.
This is the theory that I had, and I really think this is how it happened. I really think this held true for both Best Animated Short and Best Documentary Short. People saw, they live in L.A., they saw things on the ballot related to L.A., and things they knew and were familiar with, and you can't tell me everyone saw these categories.
This tells us most people didn't see those categories. I guess the one caveat could be is they all really love where they live. And
I love L.A.
Exactly.
So I'm going to pat myself on the back. I think I nailed that thinking. We should have ballots next year. Let us watch for you. Mahershala Ali was out giving the Best Supporting Actress Oscar, and of course it went to Allison Janney. We told you no big surprises in any of the major acting categories. Allison Janney brought the house down when she got to the microphone after accepting the award and said, "I did it all by myself." One of the funnier moments of the night.
That was funny. Yeah. She's accepted so many of these awards throughout the season.
Where do these people... So everyone swept, right?
Right.
Where do they keep all these awards? If you sweep the season, you win 7-8 trophies?
Their houses are bigger than our houses.
That's fair point.
So they can have like a
trophy room.
This room sized trophy case just dedicated to their award season with all those trophies. So,
fair point.
Yeah.
I should go back and mention that Best Animated Feature was also given after Best Animated Short. Of course, Coco won, again, presented by the Star Wars troops. I would have loved Ferdinand to win that in an upset. And the Star Wars cast have to give an Oscar to Kobe Bryant, followed immediately by giving one to John Cena. I think that would have been poetic. And I could have probably gone out there and been lived a happy life.
That would have been weird. And so are you, by the way.
Thank you for the input.
That analogy.
Rita Moreno was out giving out the Best Foreign Language Film, and this was her moment. She was living it up, playing to the crowd, posing, strutting her stuff
basically,
up to the microphone.
Basically doing exactly what Kristen Wiig did the night before at the Independent Spirit Awards, parodying the actress that hasn't been on camera for 30 years, getting another moment in the sun and taking advantage of every second of it. That also happened with the On the Waterfront actress.
Yeah, that was.
Show.
We'll get to that. That was.
Oh, God.
I feel bad, but come
no,
on.
No. We're truthsayers. Yes. We're going to tell you the truth.
Yes.
It was ridiculously long.
No matter who we are.
Ridiculously long.
This was definitely Rita Moreno's moment.
She's adorable. I love that she's wearing the same dress.
Wearing the same one she wore.
I love the red carpet interviews.
The fact that she still fits into it, perfectly beautiful. Greg, do you, Rita? Keep on strutting.
I can't fit from something from a couple months ago.
After tonight, I can't fit into these pants.
Thank God we wore sweatpants.
Foreign language film went to A Fantastic Woman, beating out things such as The Square. Not really a surprise. Fantastic Woman, I'm pretty sure, was the favorite as well. You picked it.
It was a slight favorite. We did pick this one. I think
you did. I picked The Square for this one.
Okay. I mean, it's a first win for Chile, So that's nice that's cool. That a country got on the board there. And yeah, I mean, it is a landmark moment. Let's be honest, for transgendered folks out there. And it's nice to see them get a nod, and got to see this movie now.
Yeah, for sure.
Neither of us have been able to see it yet. And again, be honest with you, and got to see it.
Prior to that, Jimmy Kimmel sweetened the pot. He had a running gag all night where he was giving away. He wanted to keep the show short, which is very ironic, and we'll get to that when it comes. But he had already promised to give away a jet ski to whoever had the shortest acceptance speech of the night.
Right.
And he sweetened the pot with a trip to Lake Havasu, which everyone applauded for. So I guess It's a popular celebrity spot in Arizona. I don't know if it just got itself taken away from a hot celebrity spot since now everyone knows about it. But
well, here's the thing about award shows, I guess, is that their comedy bit segments draws more eyes than, you know, draws more entertainment value than
Ellen with the selfie from a couple many years
speeches.
Ago.
I mean, enough, the right amount of speeches works, but once you get to too many speeches and too long speeches, yeah, you know, you need to mix it up with some actual produced material. So it was probably the weakest of the, you know, the big bits. I kind of, the one at the theater won me over. We'll get to that, I guess.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when it comes, but that one I have an issue with as well.
Okay, yeah, neither of those were great, but
Nothing to write home about. Right. Nothing to write home about. We were treated to a performance of Remember Me from Coco as another Best Original Song nominee was there. It seems a little unfair to have both someone as lovable as Miguel sing the song, and then this was the only Best Original Song nominee that had confetti along with it. I know the leaves were part of the act and part of Coco,
but of the movie, yeah.
Of course that's going to be the favorite if you have confetti. People love confetti. I love confetti.
There's a lot of versions of that song in the movie. It's kind of the theme song of the movie. So
of course.
I enjoyed that they did the, you know, the slow instrumental and then the big version, the big band version. However, I still don't get the Gael García Bernal thing. I know he's on Mozart in the Jungle, so maybe that was Amazon Prime's kind of, that was their plan.
That was their time in the sun. All right.
No, I love Mozart in the Jungle. I'm going to keep watching that show. And yeah, that was weird to me.
I demand next time we record, you shower me with confetti.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only way I will sit down at this chair ever again.
But didn't those leaves do something to the poor kid? It made him, like, dissipate into the realm of the dead?
I think that was only written into the movie for the moment at the Oscars, and that's what won it the award.
Kind of creepy.
People saw their ballot, and they were like, oh, I hope there's confetti.
Here's the Realm of the Dead magic leaves that we hope, you know, this is a sign that you all should, we don't like you.
Kumail Nanjiani and Lupita Nyong'o next presented Best Production Design, and Kumail, his first time out, this was it, and he killed already, saying that his name was not Kumail Nanjiani, it's actually Chris Pine, Pakistani, and so he was angry to find that there was a white actor named Chris Pine. Lupita Nyong'o couldn't even keep a straight face for the bit. She was dying laughing. His delivery is excellent. He and Tiffany Haddish should host everything from now on.
Delivery and timing, two rising stars out of this award season. On the category, I think Blade Runner 2049 could have won this one, too. Dunkirk and Darkest Hour, I think we both, you know, gushed over the look of them.
And it was Shape of Water taking it home.
And Beauty and the Beast looked great, too. Yeah, Shape of Water, though, this was probably, in our opinion, one where it kind of deserved it in many ways.
We both picked it, and I think we both kind of pushing for it. They did a phenomenal job of putting you back in the old Hollywood feel, like something you hit on.
The look of this movie, the design of those sets, callbacks to old school Hollywood. You got a lot of motifs to work with in terms of that old Hollywood motif, the old monster movie motif, the fairy tale gets a twist kind of thing. Again, you got a lot of, you know, forces in play. It was a playground for Guillermo del Toro and Paul Dano, Osterberry, Sean Vau, and Jeff Melvin there.
Aiza Gonzalez and Ansel Elgort presented Best Sound Editing, and Aiza Gonzalez is gorgeous.
Smoke show.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Good God Almighty.
Not a human being. We are not part of the same species.
Look, we're straight guys. She's ridiculously hot.
And no Ansel Elgort had to be taken back. I hope that's the reason for this, because the lack of chemistry between the two of them and presenting, it was like, it was making me cringe. They were just trying to play each other. It wasn't working. It was awkward
I didn't
to
pay
watch.
Attention at all. I was just mesmerized. Nah, whatever. It is what it is, folks. I'm not even sorry. She's so hot. It's just the way it is.
They presented both sound editing and sound mixing. Man.
She's great in that movie, though, by the way.
She is. I imagine her star will keep shining. Margot Robbie did the same thing, working off. She was beautiful in Wolf of Wall Street, and she's done nothing but keep growing and rising as a star.
Sure. She's the key to the Baby Driver movie.
Mm-hmm. They presented sound editing and sound mixing, both of which went to Dunkirk, and that's when you kind of had the idea that maybe the streak was going to be on and the winning all those undercard awards. There was a 90 years of movie-making montage that really felt out of place prior to that. It was about an hour into the show, and we were all kind of looking at each other like, what is this? What's going on? And it was not received well either. David Chen tweeted out, this excruciatingly long 90th anniversary Oscars montage is depressing. Quote, remember when we used to make expensive, ambitious films that lots of people watched in theaters? The death rattle of an industry witnessing social and technological changes completely laid waste.
That's
to
a
it.
Little harsh.
That's a lot.
That's a lot harsh.
We just thought it was out of place.
Look, we're going to have $1 billion movie shortly here that was just released.
Black Panther just passing the 900 million mark.
Yep. Christ almighty. So, all right, let's not that.
Why is everyone so quick to reenact the Bring Out Your Dead from the Holy Grail, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, about the film industry? Why does everyone want to proclaim this dead and buried?
Because numbers went down a little bit, but then again, they're expanding their reach. So it's kind of it's an interesting business question. We're not business people.
Business ethics.
We go to the movies a lot. Movie Pass.
Taraji P. Henson presented Mary J. Blige performing Mighty River. She's revealed that Mary J. Blige was the first person ever nominated for Best Original Song and Best Supporting Actress in the same year. Surprise, surprise, Mary J. Blige killed it.
All of the Best Original Song performances had their moments that where these performers just went off.
Got goosebumps, for sure.
And Mary J. Blige might have been the best of those. Like, she really, there's a reason.
She knows how to sing.
There's a reason, like, especially, and if you got to say, all right, one of you lead off, you go with Mary J. Blige to lead it off, because you know she's going to deliver, and of course she did there.
It was Laura Dern and Greta Gerwig presenting Best Documentary prior to that, and it was the first upset of the night. Icarus took home the gold over Faces Places, which was a heavy favorite, critically accepted, loved. Icarus won.
You know, in retrospect, Icarus kind of feels like the best documentaries that they've been
hindsight's 2020,
tabbing over the years. Yep. Searching for Sugar Man, Exit Through the Gift Shop. There's a lot of documentary films that take a story from one direction and totally go off in another by the mid movie point. And that definitely happened with Icarus. You think it's a whole type of movie, and I won't tell you where it goes, but it's fascinating to watch. It's not on the level of documentaries of the past, and I think, you know, different style of documentary, like The Last Men in Aleppo or Last Men in Aleppo, like Faces Places, totally different style. You know, you have that one kind of mystery plot, and you have, you know, a different genre, I guess you could say. And I thought one of those other ones would win, but there you go, Icarus.
Eva Marie Saint, from the actress from On the Waterfront, the 1955 Oscar winner, presented Best Costume Design, and this is where Mike made the comparison to Kristen Wiig's Faye Fontaine character.
There's no way that they programmed a 90-year-old actress to talk for 5 minutes up there.
She started going off on some personal stories. And
it's amazing that she could hold up.
She's the best-looking 90-year-old person I've ever seen. Well, most well-spoken 90-year-old person I've ever seen, especially when you contrast her appearance in the Oscars to what Kirk Douglas was like at the Golden Globes this year.
Right.
She looked like she was in her 70s, not her 90s. Correct. That said.
Correct.
She lost her way a little bit.
She lost her way. She had anecdotes. Anecdotes about Marlon Brando. I don't even remember. It's too late tonight. We'll have to go back and rewatch that for the next pod. But yes, it's
completely overshadowing, by the way, that silly. Phantom Thread did win an Oscar for best. what even was it? Best costume design.
And he won the jet ski for that short speech.
Yes, yes, he did win the jet ski, which we'll get to in a moment.
And then at the end, he's a goofy smiling face with waving to the crowd when he's on the jet ski.
With Helen Mirren. That was hilarious.
With Helen Mirren again. Yeah, that's funny.
Darkest Hour won Best Makeup. Before that, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, no brainer. I mean, they enabled Gary Oldman to get the Winston Churchill Best Actor win.
So that'll bring us to the first award, or the first thing happening at the actual show. The first award awarded on the night was supporting actor Viola Davis coming out to Austin Powers
music.
That
was so bizarre. Why?
Did
they set that up in any way?
Thank God it didn't set the tone for the evening. Because it was a fairly well-done show, but I don't know what the hell that was.
Yes, the production values were fairly high. It just made no sense whatsoever. I agree.
Sam Rockwell, of course, won, as he had swept everything up to that point.
Gave a pretty good speech, too.
Yeah, yeah. And he dedicated that. it to his buddy Philip Seymour Hoffman. That was a touching moment.
Yeah.
And he's so freaking charming. It kills me. Even a short acceptance speech, he was just out there being himself, being authentic, as was the theme of the night. And that's kind of why the Oscars are so endearing to everyone, because you get to see these celebrities actually be themselves for a little bit, which is nice. I'm kind of upset he didn't sneak in a low-key F-bomb.
Or at their phoniest. I don't know either. It was one of those realms of the spectrum. I don't know.
I wish he snuck in an F-bomb just to keep that streak going of what he did on SNL.
I agree with you. I think he gave some heartfelt thanks. I thought he was sincere. And it's weird to see his hair. If I could just give me one
going
little
to David
anecdote
Lynch
about his
school
hair.
Of quaff a little bit.
Right. Yeah. He's had bedhead for this whole award season, it seems. Or at least every award show I watch. I mean, and it's amazing. I'm always like, my God, like a stylist literally did the bedhead thing? Or did he just, go crazy with his hands with some kind of product
he
involved?
He just put like a mountain of mousse in and slapped himself
and
on
it
top
stays
of
like
dome.
That. And he's gone, and then boom. It's like straight up. He's Cable. it looked great.
That was the first award. That was the first award given right after Jimmy Kimmel's monologue, which he opened the show with. He made a joke about Harvey Weinstein's career being basically over. Got zero applause.
Right.
That was the only awkward moment. Otherwise, I thought he did a pretty good job. He addressed Time's Up, Me Too, Black Panther, the All the Money in the World pay difference. He hit all the big movements that he had to hit.
A little bit of a slower pace than usual monologues, I felt. But then again, they talked about some serious things. I thought the stupid little old Hollywood
opening, you didn't like
opening,
that?
I thought that was hysterical.
Oh, I thought it was so funny, too.
I was laughing at
it. It was
pretty
so
hard
funny.
At that.
He talked about Jordan Peele and Get Out, saying that Peele was only the third person in 90 years to get a screenplay, director, and picture nominees in his debut movie. And then he made the comment that President Trump saw the first three-fourths of Get Out, and it was his favorite movie of the year. That was funny. But here's... We get a little mixed with Jimmy Kimmel and hosting this. Okay. So
this
we talked
is the
about,
line of the night by your brother?
Yes. This is it was the like, line and of he the brought night. It out immediately.
Yes.
He brought up the point that if this is the biggest year in social justice for women's progress and movements, why is everyone okay with one half of the Man Show hosting the
and
Oscars?
Now girls on trampolines. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding? Yeah. I can't argue with
no,
him there.
No, good point.
I mean, yes, we've all come a long way since, the 90s. Or the early 2000s, whenever that was.
Yeah, but
so is
still
Jimmy
a guy
Kimmel,
from Man Show. But...
going toe-to-toe with the president over healthcare. I mean, he's done a lot of good
people
stuff.
People change. Good for Jimmy Kimmel for being able to walk that tightrope and getting away relatively unscathed.
But it's fascinating to watch the public respond
to different different aspects
years
different
later.
Ways, for sure.
Yeah,
Kimmel's bit, like we said, going out throughout the night, he gave away a jet ski to whoever had the shortest acceptance speech. He hammered again and again how he wanted to keep it short. The program was going too long. It always goes long every year.
Yeah.
But then he took time in the middle of the show. Mike already hit on this a little bit. Instead of bringing people from a tour bus into the Oscars, as he did last year, which ended up them meeting a felon, he took a group of Hollywood stars across the street to a packed movie theater where they were seeing A Wrinkle in Time in a preview showing.
Yes. And they all went apeshit in there. They went nuts.
Oh, it must have been an incredible, incredible moment if you were in that theater.
It was almost, yeah, but it was like almost too chaotic. Like they needed some security or something.
It played awkwardly too.
It was awkward. Like the people went wild.
We were watching a screen of people watching a screen of people watching a screen.
And they couldn't show the people enough. Like they didn't have enough cameras in the room.
Yeah, it was like... The only person you saw was Meryl Streep.
Right. They didn't have enough cameras in either room. So it was very, very weird. And then Gal Gadot and Jimmy were stepping on their each
Gadot,
other's lines.
By the way, which we've been pronouncing that
Gadot,
name totally wrong.
Actually, we did. Yeah. This is something else we learned tonight. It's Gadot. It's but, not Gadot. Waiting for Gadot.
We were hearing all night how we've got to keep it short. And he does the exact same bit he did last year, basically.
Correct. And yeah, they're just stepping on each other's lines for the first 30 seconds of that, kind of like you and me over half the podcast.
Yeah, that's about right. So that was it. That was Oscars 2017-18. March 4th, 2018 is when it happened. And Shape of Water. Best picture.
We're going to have more rage for you later. Now we just need some sleep.
Yeah, after I edit this and post
it. Oh, God. Better you than me. I can't believe you're going to do it.
So stick with us, guys. For all of you that liked and commented and we were able to retweet and talk to a little bit on Twitter during the awards, we thank you for that. Any of you that followed us on any platform during this week, whether it was Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Don't go anywhere. We're going to keep hammering out these episodes. We have a Netflix quarter year in review for you guys coming out. Yep. We have our own award show, which is called the Mike and Oscars, which is our official year in review.
Our MMO calendar is a little different than everybody else's. So if you were sick of year in review, you know, way back, well, you've had 3 months off. So now you're not going to be sick of year in reviews anymore because we're going to give you ours.
And it's going to be different.
Well, yeah, we can be a little more thorough. And yes, listen to that superlatives pod. I thought we had a lot of fun with that.
That was our first part of our year in review. It was 50 plus categories that I guarantee you have not heard awarded yet in any podcast.
Some of them. Some of them I stole from other award shows, plagiarized them shamelessly, but yes. Some
best Caleb Landry Jones performance was a category. So I don't think that you've heard most of those yet. But if you are listening to us for the first time, you want to hear the rundown of the takes, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, we hope we keep providing you quality content, and we're not done. Just because the Oscars are over, Mike and Oscar isn't. We're going to keep rolling.
Overtired, unfiltered. We kind of gave you our best shot tonight just to get some content for you tomorrow morning. But we'll do a deep dive. We'll get back to our programming strengths. And we'll prepare some stuff for you next time. I had no notes for this podcast. Can you believe I did this?
I'm proud of you.
By the way, most pods with 20 pages of notes.
if you want to hear
that's not a joke.
More coherent content from us, we did just release 8 episodes in the last 9 days leading up to tonight. So this will be 9 and 10. And then I'm going to sleep like a bear and hibernate as this is supposed to.
Correct. So this is 48. 48
I think this
episodes?
Is 49.
So this is 49 episodes, and we've done those since September, November?
October.
Since October.
October was our first posted one, yeah.
So 49 episodes since October. This is, you know, we're cranking them out, guys. So
and we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. Just because the Oscar's over, we're not. We are Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, at MM and Oscar on Twitter. We love talking to you guys pretty much every night. If you comment to us, you like us, you retweet us, we're more than open to having a conversation. One of us is usually on there at all hours of the day until a very irresponsible time at night.
Yes.
We are Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, Mike and Oscar on Reddit, and we have MikeMikeAndOscar.com is coming.
Yes.
It is a thing. It is purchased. We can actually breathe and work on it a little bit now, which was incredibly difficult to do prior to the Oscars, but I'm not joking with you guys. If you thought we were good up to this point, we're just getting started.
Just getting started, and a lot of these are getting our reps, and yes, we've come a long way from pod number one.
I ought to praise you like I should. Fat Boy Slim, good video.
There you go.
Guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us, and it definitely sucks now that the Oscars are over, but hey, 364 more days till hockey season. Got to get ready.
Yes.
We'll see you guys next time.